We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Part three, the final portion of today's show, going to focus a little bit more on the offense, but not just the offense, but we're talking about playmakers, and we're talking about playmakers emerging that we didn't already know about. So we don't need to talk about, is Benjamin Morrison a playmaker on defense? Is Xavier Watts a playmaker on defense? Is Howard Cross a playmaker on defense? Is Riley Mills a playmaker on defense? We already know those things. We know that those guys are studs. I mean, of that group of four guys I just mentioned, three of them have earned All-American honors at Notre Dame. So you're good there. The question is, are you having guys emerge that you otherwise didn't know that they were playmakers at this level, or guys that have been good players but not big-time players, or guys that have been playmakers, and I'm thinking of Chris Mitchell here, but haven't shown it at this level with any consistency? Now, when it comes to, I'll talk about Chris Mitchell in a minute, but I'm going to focus on guys that right now are showing it this spring. And Notre Dame is in a unique position on offense because you go into the spring and you have a playmaker quarterback on your roster, a proven playmaker quarterback, one of the best dual threat quarterbacks in college football coming back next year. But he's banged up and he's been dealing with some ankle issues. You look at running back, you think you've got some playmakers and they're talented and they were top recruits, but you know, what have they really shown with any consistency in college? Same thing at the receiving core. You've got some young sophomores that had some good moments last year, but you know, really, where are they? And can they be at this level? You had one of the better playmakers at tight end last year, but he's out. He's out this spring, and he's been a guy that struggled to stay healthy. So in my opinion, there's a lot of optimism about, oh, this guy can be a playmaker. That guy, but it was all projection. It was all, I think Jeremiah Love can be a playmaker. I think Jadarian Price can be one. I think this guy can be that. I think that guy can be that, but I don't really know. I'm just going off of what they did in high school or, you know, special teams, whatever. And so there was a lot of questions about who those guys were. And then how those questions gets answered is going to shape the offense, in my opinion. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, so I wanted to ask Coach Denbrock about this because it's really fascinating studying the Mike Denbrock offense because it changes so much structurally. Even though he hasn't really changed much at all philosophically. What he believes in, whether not just scheme-wise, but more so ways to attack the defense, you know, getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers, having kids that are technically sound and having kids that understand, you know, putting kids in position to be successful and all that kind of stuff, you know, attacking downfield, attacking with the run game. Those are all things, you know, you having a dual threat quarterback, those are all things that Mike Denbrock's done his whole career. But how he's gotten into those things has changed. His offense at Cincinnati looked different than the offense at Notre Dame. The offense at Notre Dame looked different than the offense at LSU. The offense at LSU looked different than the offense at Cincinnati. And I would argue that his offense at LSU in 2022 looked different from his LSU offense in 2023. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. His top receiver in 22 and 23 was the same guy. It was Malik Nabers. But when you look at the 2022 top, his second guy was Boutte, who's a smaller guy, not a burner, more of a quick, shifty guy. He had some issues. And then you look in 2023 and it's Brian Thomas, who's 6'3 plus and fast and different, completely different type of athlete. So the makeup of the receiving corps changed. You had a lot more 12 personnel in 2022, hardly any. I mean, they were in the 9 games. I'll give you all a little bit of a tidbit about something that I broke down on the message board. That's a part of the detailed film breakdowns and study statistical breakdowns that are only going to premium members on the board, but I'll give you a little tidbit. in the, I broke down nine games from 2023. So it was the nine games against Power Five teams for Mike Denbrock. So I didn't break down, at least I didn't, like, I watched the games, but I didn't break down, like, include them in the data against Army, Georgia State, or Grambling, because I don't care that you do things against them. If you're doing things against Grambling or Georgia State, but you don't do them against Bama, then it doesn't mean anything to me, because I know that Notre Dame can go beat Navy and these teams without that stuff. But can you beat Georgia? Can you beat Bama? So I studied the Power Five games. And they were in 11 personnel. That's one back, one tight end, three receivers, 94% of their snaps last year in those games. In those nine games, they were in 12 personnel 12 times all year. Only 12 times in those nine Power Five games did LSU line up with two tight ends. That's it. And then you look at Notre Dame and you're like, dude, they'll do that in a quarter. They'll get, okay, how many snaps did you have in the first quarter? 15? Pretty good chance that you were, surpassed that 12 snaps of 12 personnel, right? And you also had me at some 13 personnel mixed in there. And then you're like, well, that doesn't really fit what Notre Dame is. Okay, well, let's go back a couple years and let's study Mike Denbrock's offense at Cincinnati. And I remember breaking down the Notre Dame game, and I literally went through it just to track this one number. I remember Mike Denbrock using two tight ends a lot. He had Josh Wiley and Leonard Taylor. I remember. So I went and broke down the Notre Dame game. 12 snaps of 12 personnel in nine Power Five games at LSU in 2019 or 2023. Against Notre Dame in 2021, his LSU offense, or his Cincinnati offense, had 19 snaps of 12 personnel, 19 in one game. And his two tight ends combined for over 50 catches and those type of things. And so what you'll see is Mike Denbrock is going to change what he does run game-wise, not change. He's going to adapt what he does personnel-wise and run game-wise and some of the specifics of what he's going to major in based on his personnel. So my question to him was, all right, well, how does that evolve? How does it evolve? Like, what's the process of getting to learn who that's going to be? So I asked him on Saturday, I said, is it a combination of like, you have an idea coming in, what's the process? And so we talked about, like, this is it. This is the spring is it. And the point that he then went on to make is you start to learn now who the playmakers are. And he talked about, I'd seen film of Bo Collins. I mean, they probably recruited Bo Collins and had, obviously when he was at LSU, I'm sure there's times where they'd seen Clemson play. And he studied film of Chris Mitchell, and you could see film of Jaden Harrison, and there's film of certain guys, but it's one thing to see that film. It's another thing to know that this guy can go be a playmaker in my offense. And so what you do is you get out in the spring, you test guys, you challenge guys, you put guys in situations, and you say, okay, what can we learn about this group? Who's going to step up? Who, when I get in their face or when I challenge them or I ask them, hey, I need you to do this or I need you to do that, I'm going to put you in this situation. You're going to go against Benjamin Morrison all day today before he was hurt. You're going to go at Christian Gray all day today. I'm going to have you lined up where I know Xavier Watts is going to guard you every single play today, and I want to see how you're going to respond. Sometimes you tell him, sometimes you don't. But you're testing him. You're putting him in situations where I need to know if this guy can make plays. And, whether it's running backs, receivers, all those type of things. And then whoever steps up, that then is going to determine what my personnel packages are going to be about. The strengths of my offensive line are going to help go a long way towards determining what my run game is going to look like. The strengths of my running backs is going to have an impact on what my running game is going to look like. The strength of my tight ends is going to determine how much 11 personnel are we going to use, how much 12 personnel are we going to use. When I'm running inside zone, which is our bread and butter play, I'm just again looking at it from Mike Denbrock's standpoint. Do I have tight ends that can kind of come out and bully people? Do I need to be more moving the tight ends around? Because it's, Mason Taylor is a very talented pass catcher. He gives effort in the run game, but he was a true sophomore last year. So you had to do different things to help him with leverage and angles and getting running head starts and things like that so he could be more effective in the run game instead of just lining him up and say drive block a nine technique like you could do maybe with Cooper Flanagan or Eli Raritan when they were freshmen who were much bigger and stronger players. And how that is going to go is going to determine what kind of form your offense is going to take. Well, one of the biggest things is, and this is true of Mike Denbrock's offense for sure, and this is true of really any offense that's any good, is you can scheme all you want, you can game plan all you want, you can use motions and shifts and every trick in the book. You can use all of your bags of tricks, everything you got, and it's going to work for you to a degree. But if you want to truly be a team that's competing for championships, that only gets you so far. Kansas last year, to me, is a great example. I think Kansas's offensive coordinator is one of the more creative coaches in all of college football. I mean, he is a super, super creative guy, and he kind of has to be. He has to be a guy that goes out there and does all those kind of things because he doesn't have the kind of talent that other teams have. But when you're playing Texas and their dudes are way better than your dudes, it doesn't matter. When you're playing other teams and you're just like, dude, our dudes are not as good as their dudes, that'll get you to 9-4, but it doesn't get you to 12-0. It doesn't get you 11-1. It doesn't get you to make runs in the playoff. That's just a fact. You need all those things. You need a smart coach, a guy that understands technique and a guy that understands matchups and a guy that understands how to use his personnel to the best of their ability. But the talent of that personnel is going to determine just how much you can do. And I love the comment from Michael Parks. He's like, Boise State, that stuff up. But again, what happened when Boise went to play Georgia a couple times? What happened when they started playing teams that had defenses that had better players than them? You can get away with it in a bowl game. It's a lot harder to do that in the regular season, and it's a lot harder to do that with any consistency. And so you need playmakers. And that was the biggest question that I had is, I know that Notre Dame has guys that are capable of being playmakers, but do they actually have playmakers? And so what I want to talk about today is some guys that we have seen step up this spring from what we have seen and from what I have heard about who have stepped up this spring. And the biggest revelation is going to be the least surprising revelation to all of you, and that is that Notre Dame is going to use their two running backs a lot. Now, I'm not saying they're going to use them together a lot. That remains to be seen. But from what I have heard and what we have seen, Notre Dame has about as explosive of a 1-2 punch at running back as you're going to see. Certainly a more explosive running back combination than we've seen in a long time in Notre Dame. And that's saying something when you consider not that long ago, we saw lineups with Dexter Williams and Josh Adams. And we saw lineups with Josh Adams and CJ Procise and guys like that. You're seeing some flat-out juice at running back. And the reality that Notre Dame has found this spring is that Jeremiah Love can impact the game in a lot of different ways. A lot of the things they were doing early in spring of moving him around was to, again, it was part of that testing process. What can he do? Can he line up outside? Can he catch the ball down the field? Can he run routes? Can he catch back shoulders? Can we run him on the wide fade stuff? Can we just run him on screens? Can he run overs? Can he run seams? Can he catch a seam? Those are all things you needed to learn about him. And he's, for the most part, from what I could tell, has answered the bell. And Jadarian Price, but that only works if Jadarian Price is a dude at running back, in my opinion, because you can't take Jeremiah. If Jeremiah Love is by far your number one running pure running back, then you're going to be in a situation where, okay, that's great, but when he's lined up outside, where's your running threat? Well, it's Riley Leonard, but what if Riley's not your quarterback? You're going to do that with Steve Angeli? You're going to do that with CJ Carr, Kenny Minchie? No, you're not. And so you needed that second back to step up, and Jadarian showing that he's not a great number two back. Jadarian is showing that I'm a legit number one back. And that was the key, because the message that the coaching staff gave to Jadarian and Jeremiah coming into the spring was, we want you guys to be 1A, 1B. And that sounds wonderful. It sounds great. But you can say that as your pitch to keep them on happy and to keep them on your roster. But if they don't play that way, you can't continue to live that way. I can't continue to live as something I claim to be if I'm not that thing. So you can tell Jeremiah all you want, you're a 1A or a 1B, or you can tell Jadarian all you want, you're 1A, 1B. But if they don't go out and play like 1A or 1B, you can't keep them as 1A, 1B. And the great thing that I've heard and what we've seen is Jeremiah and Jadarian are both playing like ones. Like, I'm that dude. And they have what I can tell is a very friendly but a very fierce. It's like two great talents. Like, oh yeah, you want to go rip off that 50-yard run? Bet. Look what I got. Oh, you want to go make that catch out there, Jeremiah? Watch me house this inside zone. Oh, Jadarian, you want to take this inside zone for the house? Watch me do this on my inside zone carry. And what you're seeing is that the two of them are very, very good talents, very good talents. But their presence pushes each other every day. And you know, if you're Jeremiah Love, you can't have any days off because Jadarian's going to go out there and ball. If you're Jadarian, you can't go out there and take days off because Jeremiah's going to ball, or Kedron's going to ball, or Aeneas is going to ball, or Jabron's going to ball. And it's really raised their level of play. So from what I have seen and from what I've heard, the playmaking at running back this spring in all facets of the game is very, very exciting. And that's a huge step. But also one that I don't think any of you are going to be overly surprised by. It's good confirmation, but it's not something that I find at all surprising. The bigger question is who steps up outside? Because, hey, guess what? Notre Dame had one of the best running backs in college football last year, too. And their offense still sputtered into big games, partly because of how they used him or didn't use him in certain situations. But the other part was because, like in the Clemson game, in the Louisville game, the other team said, I'm going to beat your butts up front. We're not going to let Audric Estime beat you. If you're going to beat us, you have to beat us outside. And guess what? Notre Dame couldn't beat those teams outside. Couldn't. And that's the bigger question mark for me. And so when you look at this Notre Dame football team, you say, okay, who are the pass catchers? Okay, we know Mitchell Evans can be, but can Mitchell Evans play 12 games? The next time Mitchell Evans plays 12 games in a regular season will be the first time Mitchell Evans plays 12 games in a regular season. Now, it'd be great if he does, but you can't count on that. But also, you need to be smart. Why would I want to rush him to play 12 games, knowing that if we want to win a championship, he's got to play four more? But you can't take the burden off of his shoulders, off of his legs, if you don't have the talent to step up. You can say all you want, hey, we need playmakers at receiver and put guys in position, but somebody's got to step up. And it can't be just Mitchell Evans. Even if Mitchell comes back and he's healthy for 16 games and he's the best tight end in college football, that's only going to get you so far. What's the supporting cast look like? That's the biggest question. And that, to me, is the most encouraging thing that I've seen from spring so far.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, we haven't seen a lot of Chris Mitchell this spring. Not that he hasn't done anything effectively or he hasn't played well. It's just we literally have not seen him take a lot of reps. Now, from what I've heard, when he's been out there, I've heard good things. But we just haven't seen it. But we have seen film of him. I go back and reference the Arkansas game. So to me, Chris Mitchell is still a little bit of an unknown to me. I've heard some good things, but I haven't seen as much of it. In person, I'm still relying off what he showed me on film. And what he showed me on film was very, very impressive. So to me, I still have a little bit of I don't want to keep saying to me a lot today. I apologize. When I look at Chris Mitchell, I see potential to be a difference maker. But I still need to see it in the Notre Dame uniform. It's not that he hasn't looked good. It's just legitimately, folks, I'm telling you, I just haven't seen him take a lot of reps. That's where I'm at. Can Bo Collins be that guy? I think Bo's got the chance to be that. But again, I haven't seen him do it in Notre Dame uniform. At some point in time, I need to see guys do it in a Notre Dame uniform before I can start to say they got playmakers. And there's two guys that I talked a little bit about earlier that a receiver that have stepped up, and then a guy at tight end that's really stepped up that I want to talk about. that has me encouraged about what we're going to see from Notre Dame this season at receiver. First of all, I talked earlier about Jaden Greathouse. What we have seen from Jaden Greathouse is exactly what I hoped he would be if he reaches his peak. So I had Jaden Greathouse as a top 100 player. He was so savvy and nuanced. Gave him 4.5-star upside. But the 4.5-star upside was about, can he get more explosive athletically? That Jaden Greathouse had 5-star production in high school. He had 5-star highlight film. Like, big time. I mean, just how you watch his film and didn't be like, dude, that's a 5-star high school football player, is you had to. The question that I had and some other people had was, what is the projection like? And for me, I projected him better than most. I'm going to look up his high school ranking, but I don't think when it was all said and done, anyone had him in the top 100 outside of the SI All-American, which is no longer a thing. But let me just look at this real quick. So, yes, Rivals was the highest at 107, ESPN had him at 122, On3 at 164, and 247 did not think Jaden Greathouse was one of the 247 best high school football players in the country coming out. I think those were all wrong. Rivals was closest. Adams, the top 100 guy. I think he was a top 75-ish kind of guy for me, top 90, because he was just so savvy and he knew how to play. The 4.5-star stuff, the potential 5-star stuff. Actually, you know what? I actually think I gave Jaden Greathouse a 5-star upside. Let me just look this up, because I think I just quoted my own grades wrong. So, yes, I gave him a 5-star upside for college. So the thing for me was, he's a 4-star talent now. 5-star production, 5-star impact in high school. But there were questions about, could that translate to college in a 5-star level? And a lot of it had to do with, he had to get stronger, like all high school kids do. But could he show another gear? Because there were plays he made in high school that you'd say, that was a heck of a play. Can he do that against Christian Gray? Can he do that against Benjamin Morrison? Can he do that against Xavier Watts? Because if he can do it against those guys, he can do it against anybody, right? And those are the questions about, could that translate to that, to the next level? We saw last year, Jaden has all the confidence that you want in a 5-star. He's got all the, you know, feel for the game and all those things that you want. But was he strong enough, and was he going to be athletic enough to really separate? The biggest thing that I've seen this spring from Jaden Greathouse is not he's a great route runner, because we knew that. It's not that he has really good ball skills, because we already knew that. It's not that he's confident, because we already knew that. We knew all those things. The biggest encouragement to me that I've seen this spring is he's gotten stronger. You expected. I mean, kids are going to come into college, and as long as they work, get stronger. He's filling out nicely. But not every kid takes a jump athletically in high school or in college. Some do. Some take some level. Some take big jumps. Will Fuller took a big jump. Some guys are just, you know, I'm a 4.6, and by the time I'm done in college, I'm a 4.55. But with Jaden, we have seen a completely different level of explosiveness this spring. Now, part of it was because he was banged up a lot last year. But also part of it is he needed to reshape his body. He needed to kind of grow up and physically mature. And those things are happening. And we're seeing a much better off-the-line burst. We're seeing much better explosiveness out of his top ends. We're seeing Jaden show more of the ability to accelerate as he gets into an over route, for example, where he can kind of get going and then accelerate to the football in ways that he didn't last year. You know, he said, hey, I had 11 catches in the spring game last year. Yeah. They were like all caught within 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. They were all stop routes. They were options and, you know, hitches and things like that. They weren't him outrunning people. He's showing more of an ability to show that level of speed this spring. And when you combine that with the other things, you start to understand why he has been without question the most impressive receiver this entire spring. I've not been to one practice, the first practice. Now, when I talked about Chris Mitchell, the encouraging thing I have about him is we did see him at one practice be let go, and it was the first one, and he made a bunch of big plays down the field. But they didn't have pads on, so it was like, well, you know, what can you really tell about that? But that's the stuff we saw in film. Since that, I mean, but even that day, I'm going to have to go back and look, but I wouldn't be shocked if I also told you guys then that Jaden Greathouse was the most impressive guy. And he just has been all spring. But he's not alone. And that's the thing that I'm encouraged by. You know, there's been some good play. I've liked what I've seen from Deion. He's still emerging. He's still got a lot to prove. KK Smith has shown me some things. You know, Cam Williams shows me really good at vertical speed. Jaden Harrison has shown me some stuff with the ball in his hands. But the guy to me that in the last three or four sessions that we've seen that's made the biggest leap and has really shown the most playmaking ability is Micah Gilbert. Now, I know you guys all saw the highlight film that Notre Dame put up on the tweet and with him making back shoulder plays and all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. I haven't seen any. I didn't see that. We weren't there that day. I'm just telling you guys what I've seen when I watch practice and the things that I've seen. And then what I've heard from people is that Micah Gilbert is that dude. And I mean, I asked somebody yesterday who's close to the program. I was like, what are you hearing about receiver? And the first thing that was brought up was Micah Gilbert's going to be a problem for people. And he's going to be a problem for DBs this year. This year, not next year when his time comes. This year, that dude's going to be a problem for people. And when you're hearing that from how well the rest of the group is playing, you know that you've got something on your hands. And this is one of those evaluations that you start to say, boy, they made a really good evaluation with this one, because this is a kid that is showing that he has the size. He has the athleticism, he has the playmaking ability and all those type of things to really be an impact player. And that's something that kind of gets you really fired up about it. And to have a guy step up and like kind of shine in this room with the players they have says a lot. But also it answers a big question, which is what's the future of the boundary position? Because like, look, if everybody's healthy, boundary in 2024 should be pretty good and loaded. You've got Jaden Thomas, you've got Bo Collins, you've got Deion Colsey. And you're like, yeah, for this year, you should be pretty good. But what about the next year? Well, here's the thing. Mike is playing as well as any of those guys have. Now, obviously, Bo is not there. So Bo does, I don't count Bo in that conversation. But now you say, well, you know what? The future of that position looks kind of okay now because you've got Micah. But his ability to make plays when the ball's in the air is not overly surprising. So like the highlight tape is like, yeah, okay, Micah Gilbert knows how to catch the ball. We knew that. Again, I don't get fired up when we see things we already knew. Like, yeah, I expected that. It's when you see things maybe you weren't expecting. And that's been the thing for me, is just the athletic talent that Micah brings to the table is even better than I thought it was going to be already. Whereas like Jaden kind of needed a year to get there to reshape his body. Micah came in kind of a pretty well-developed kid. He's got good DNA, and he was pushed in high school, you could tell, to really build his body up the right way. And you're seeing him show that burst, show that speed, show that ability to go make plays that we hadn't seen in the past. And that's got me really fired up about what he can be. So that's two kids that I have seen on multiple days, and I've heard from multiple sources, have stepped up as legit playmakers this spring. And at two different positions, that's the big key. It's like last year, all the guys that kind of were playmakers were all slots. You know, this year it's at different positions. And then, of course, we did see Chris Mitchell that one practice. And of course, we know he did at Florida International. There's one other guy that's having a really good spring that we're not talking a lot about. And that's Cooper Flanagan. We know he can block. We know he can work the quick routes because he's a big kid. I have been really surprised at how well Cooper Flanagan runs. Like, that is a kid that I thought I liked him coming out. He had him as a four-star kid. I believe I had him as a top 200-ish, 250 caliber player. But he came from a system where he was just, blocking and moving the chains. So how good could he really be? And, Ryan has talked about, and I've talked about a lot, where, you look at a kid like him and you're like, well, hey, this kid might even be able to go play defensive line for you, at some point in time. And, that's kind of what you like to see from certain kids. You need that role. It's all good. It's wonderful. But to really be that impact player, you got to be able to make plays in the pass game. You can't just be a blocker. And you know that he's got good hands. That was true in high school. He's long. We always knew that. I've really been surprised how well he runs. And today it was a perfect example. I've liked what I've seen from him so far, but today he had a play where I believe it was Angeli, but I could be wrong. It might have been CJ, threw a corner route. And so the quarterback's to my right, and Cooper Flanagan's running a route to the left. meaning like I've got the quarterback and the receiver in my, the tight end in my line of sight, and I can see the ball come out of the quarterback's hands, and I can see where it's going, and I can see where the tight end is. And my first thought was, too long. He threw it too far. And then all of a sudden, Cooper Flanagan kind of turns on the jets a little bit and accelerates and catches the ball here. Not even like, okay, turned on the jets and extend. He caught it like here. Caught it, accelerated upfield. He's done that a few times on routes like that. He's done it on over the middle routes where you're like, this kid runs a whole lot better than I thought. And this kid plays with a confidence that I didn't really expect to see from the pass game from him. And so you are in a situation now where if Mitchell Evans comes back, you're in a really dynamic position because you have Eli Raerden, you have Mitchell Evans and Cooper Flanagan. But if Mitchell Evans doesn't come back or if Eli Raerden doesn't come back, you're still in as long as one of those two is back, you're still in a situation where you've got two legit playmaker talents at tight end. And so now you start to say, okay, the tight end room doesn't have as many numbers as it had in the past, but there's a lot of talent there. And so I'm encouraged to see that from the tight end position. We'll talk about a couple guys on defense. Number three guys, really. One, real short and sweet. Christian Gray, so far, from what I've seen and from what I've heard, is everything that we thought he would be. Just, yep, he's that next in line star corner. And he has really stepped up to the plate with Benjamin Morrison being out, playing boundary and doing some things. So, yep, you know that from – we kind of knew that. Talked to a couple sources because defensively, we haven't seen a lot of practice. That's why I'm doing defense last, and it's going to be a little bit quicker. We haven't seen a lot of practice from them. It's been a lot of drills. So I can tell you, hey, guys, look, Drake Bowen looks great in drills. He's a four-star recruit who's 6'2 plus, who's 235, 240 pounds, and he's a great athlete. Guess what? Yeah, he looks good in drills. Wonderful. Well, I guess it's good confirmation, but whatever. Jaden Osbury looks really good in drills. He looks really athletic in drills. Okay, whatever. Wonderful. I expected that. What I've heard, however, is that those two guys, and especially Drake and Mike, have really stepped up this spring. Now, there's still a lot to learn with those two kids, but the playmaking has been really, really good. The speed has been really, really good to where this I believe we're going to see them play at least four or five linebackers in games this year. But I think Drake is going to be a guy that is going to be very hard to supplant from the Mike position as long as he stays healthy, from what I've heard and what I've seen. And Jaden Osbury is a guy that is going to be very hard not to play. Now, obviously, you got Jack Kaiser, I've heard, has had a very good spring. Jalen Snead, the light's starting to go on a little bit for him, which is very, very encouraging. But Jaden Osbury is another guy that's just like really stepped up as a playmaker this spring. And I think his emergence is going to have a huge impact to me on Jalen Snead. Because if Jaden Osbury keeps doing what he's doing, I think it forces Jalen Snead to really lock in and raise his level of play. And I've heard a lot of good things about Kingston and Preston Zenner, and they love the linebacker room talent-wise, but those two kids are the ones that no matter who I talk to, 34 and 4 keep getting mentioned to me as guys that are really stepping up as playmakers. And so that's a great sign. And then another guy that we have seen with our eyes, but also I've heard a lot about, is Adon Shuler. I think Adon's play this spring, from what I've been told, and what we've seen in practice, has sort of created a little bit more, okay, we can breathe a little bit at safety. Because obviously Xavier Watts is there. The staff really likes Rod Hurd and what he's about. So you have two veterans there that you kind of know about. But at least one of these young guys are going to have to play. Who's it going to be? We don't really know. And so when you look at what we have seen from Adon this spring and what I've heard about Adon this spring is the light has gone on for Adon. He's playing fast. He's making a ton of plays in the run game, and he's making plays in the pass game as well. There's still technical things he has to learn. There's still, he'll get himself out of position from an assignment standpoint, which you expect. He's got to learn all that. But Adon has really stepped up as a potential playmaker at safety this year, where there's a little bit of a, okay, we're going to be all right at safety with these three kids. Now we just got to work on Luke Talich, and I heard some things about what they're doing with him to try to really ramp him up and get him going. You got Ben Minnick. You've got Devin Ford that's learning the position. Of course, we'll get Bronte Johnson, who we saw after practice on Saturday. He was at practice on Saturday just watching. He's not enrolled yet. Love how long and athletic he looked. Tabron Benny Powell's been at some practices. And, of course, Kennedy Urlacher's on the roster now as well. So, Adon stepping up allows them to kind of really then focus on pushing Luke and Ben. But it gives them a sense of, okay, we're going to be okay here as long as we can stay healthy. So, having Adon and Drake and Jaden really be breakouts as potential playmakers this spring has been something that I've heard quite a bit about and feel like this puts them in position to solidify the second and third levels of the defense. Breaking out in the spring is one thing. You got to do it in the fall. But if you don't break out in the spring, it makes it a lot harder to do that in the fall. There's things you have to overcome. It also makes it harder for coaches. Like, if a guy doesn't break out till middle of fall, well, you've spent all offseason thinking you're going to be one thing, and this guy steps up, and it's a pleasant surprise. You love it. You're happy about it. But you'd much rather those things happen in the spring because that gives you time to really go into the offseason. Okay, I know I got playmakers here. I know I got playmakers there. So at the very least, we go into fall camp knowing we can buy ballers here. Now we can hope that this guy also steps up and that guy also steps up. So that's kind of where Notre Dame is right now when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. It's encouraging to see this. Also knowing who they're going against every day in practice and knowing in order to stand out, you've got to go against this guy and that guy is also very encouraging. So it's still a work in progress at receiver. There's still a lot of things they got to learn, but we're seeing as a group them coming along, but more so you're starting to see those two guys I talked about, Jaden Greathouse and Micah Gilbert, really stepping up as potential playmakers for Notre Dame. So I'm very, very happy about that. That's going to do it for today's show, everybody. I want to thank you all for being with me. 6 o'clock tonight, IB Nation Sports Talk. The guys will be live tonight. I'll be back tomorrow with another show tomorrow. We'll see what we want to talk about. If you guys got some things you'd like for me to talk about, go and throw those on the message board. I'd love to hear your guys' ideas on some things you'd like to hear me discuss over these next couple weeks before we dive into our summer post-spring summer content. So we'd like to hear some of your guys' ideas, but I certainly have some things that I'd like to talk about, but you know, I want to know what the audience thinks. So go to the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com and give me some show ideas, some things you guys would like to hear me discuss, and we'll have fun with that. Thursday's show and Friday's show, guys, right now is a little bit up in the air as far as when or you know, whether I'll be on the show or when, simply because this is the last week that they're doing stuff on our house. They're supposed to finalize everything either Thursday or Friday, maybe both days. So I'm not quite sure what the time is going to be and when, but that's why you need to be subscribed and hit the notification bell so that when we do announce a time is going to go live, you'll be able to see that and get that sent to your phone directly or your email directly. So definitely want to check that out. But after this week, we're going to get onto a more normal schedule. We'll get back on track and all those type of things. So I'm excited about that. So we'll be ready to rock and roll. So anyway, but I want to thank you all who are with me today. Very good crowd today. I want to appreciate y'all very much. Getting closer to spring game next Saturday, right? There is a chance that Friday night before the game, I may do some sort of like get together at a local restaurant. I'll let you guys know if I plan on, you know, what exactly we'll do in that regard. It'll be somewhat near campus. So just be on the lookout for that. I'm not sure how many people are interested in that. If you are, again, let me know either on Twitter or on the message board, especially let me know if you guys are going to be in town Friday night. And if you'd be interested in doing something, so definitely want to do that as well. So have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you all for joining me. Hit that like, hit that subscribe, hit the notification bell. If you haven't done so, we'd love a 5-star review. And especially if you haven't done so, go on the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com. We'll talk to you all again very, very soon on the Irish Breakdown Podcast.